podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Right, so when we looked at the fixtures, we knew it was going to be a big, important September, but so far we've got 0 points. We've conceded 6 goals in 2 second-half collapses. So I'm joined by Tom Newton for the 1865 match report the morning after Forest lost to Fulham at the City Ground. We lined up with some changes following the defeat against Bournemouth. Steve Cooper's had almost 2 weeks with the players, and he opted to put Bolly in defence, Remo Freuler in the middle, and Taiwo Awoniyi up front. So we started with Henderson, a back three of Bolly, Cook and McKenna. We had Williams, Yates, Freuler and Loddy in midfield, with Morgan Gibbs-White behind Awoniyi and Johnson. And we started pretty brightly with Gibbs-White's corner getting flicked on by Yates for Awoniyi to head home. But the rest of the half, we barely saw the ball because our defence just kept pulling out. We started the second half even better, making a couple of chances before Fulham then scored unmarked from a corner, and then our now familiar collapse followed, with Paulinho in space to score from about 20 yards out, and then Harrison Reed was picked out to make it 3. Forest changed their shape and substitute O'Brien pulled one back, and for a time we were actually the better team, but Fulham shut us out at the end and they took all 3 points. So at one point in the first half, I checked the stats and Fulham had made 119 attacking passes to our 14. And that pretty much sums up the first half, doesn't it, Tom?
Yeah, pretty much. Apart from the goal, Fulham were the better side. And it was just a matter of time. It was like Forest was hanging on. Every time they come forward, it was just hanging on. They had a corner, you're thinking, just get this period out of the way. Excuse me. They just kept coming and coming, and you just couldn't see a way out for Forest. And thankfully, we got in at half time 1-0 up. But after that, like bright spell, as you said, in the second half, it was all Fulham for a bit, and that basically won them the game.
Yeah, mate, in the first half, I thought that there was part. I mean, we kept our shape really, really well, and although it was, what I noticed was we were really, really compact. So we had like the back three, and then Freuler and Yates in front of them, and there was very little distance between them, which meant that Fulham found it very difficult to get through, but we couldn't really do anything when we got the ball, which was quite rare in itself. But when we did, we just gave it back to them.
Yeah, I mean, in the Premier League, you've got to have more care of the ball, and we ultimately didn't. I mean, Johnson and Gibbs-White, they're like a pass off from creating a decent move or something like that. But then the ball just comes straight back, and the back five or the three centre-halves are just playing overtime in terms of trying to keep the opponents out. And it's only a matter of time before they get the goal, you see. So it is a bit worrying that we just can't keep the ball in the attacking half for a long period of time.
And I think, I'm guessing that's kind of why Freuler was brought in, was just so that we could actually keep hold of it a little bit better. But I didn't think he was bad, but I didn't think he didn't make a difference, really, did he?
No, he didn't. There was a spell where I thought, oh, he's getting into the game. Then as soon as I said that, he scored the first goal, the second goal and the third goal. And then ultimately he brought off soon after for Lewis O'Brien, who, for whatever reason, he's been on the bench for the last few games, and like he's been our best player. And it tells you something, doesn't it? He comes on in the 70th minute, he plays 26 minutes, he scores a goal and he's man of the match.
Yeah.
That tells you everything. And he's got to be an absolute shoo-in. He should be the first name on the team sheet after Henderson. And I just don't get it.
So there's a couple of things you mentioned there that I'd like to touch on. So first of all, it's Gibbs-White and Johnson. There was at least 4 or 5 little moments where, like, Gibbs-White picked out Jono, but he was just like half a second too late in pulling the pass, or Jono was just like half a yard beyond the defender or something. And they would have been amazing if they'd come off, but they just weren't quite on the same wavelength. Did you notice that?
I did. And it's just a case of the whole side at the moment just not gelling and just like lacking that that split second of releasing the ball, etc. So I think it's the same with everybody, but in an attacking sense where we need goals, that's being highlighted more. Like, they're just that hesitation on a pass or hesitation on a run, and it's just not coming off. And you're not going to get many chances in the Premier League. And there was a couple of chances in, especially a one in the second half with that header at the Trent end. You've got to take those chances. I mean, we're still a work in progress, but my tweet last night was basically saying, I'm not advocating for 1 minute that I want Steve Cooper out the door, but what Marinakis will see is Forest second from bottom in the league. Ultimately, they could be bottom of the league if Leicester somehow get a win against Spurs later today. And he's going to look at that 150 million left his account, and Forest are on the arse end of the Premier League. So he will be looking for some return on that. And the games, what we've had, we looked at the fixture list and we knew Spurs was going to be a difficult game. Man City was a difficult game. But when you got into the September, you think, oh, we're playing Fulham, Bournemouth, Leeds until it got postponed. We've got Villa coming up and Leicester. Well, two of those games have already gone and we've got no points and we've conceded six goals at home from winning positions. I'm sorry, but that is not good enough if you want to stay in this league.
20 minutes and all, that's the other thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know what the goal difference is, but obviously we're not... It's the old adage, isn't it? I mean, when we was in the Premier League in the 90s and ultimately struggling, BBC Match of the Day used to say, Forest can't score goals or defend. Mm-hmm. And ultimately we went down on these in the seasons of 93, 97 and 99. And the same thing's happening now. We're not scoring enough goals and we're conceding too many. And I mean, all right, we played Spurs the other week and it was Harry Kane who was the difference. And I thought we played pretty well in that. But Fulham and Bournemouth from winning positions and six goals in, like you say, 20 minutes, that's poor. That's poor. Because people are saying, oh, we need to have a bit of perspective of like, we've signed 22 players, we've done this, we've done that, we know all the stories and everything. But still, if you can't beat, no disrespect to Fulham and Bournemouth, but if you cannot beat those sides, where are the wins going to come from?
Yeah.
Because Villa won last night against Southampton and they might pick up now. Leicester is still bottom of the league, but after that we've got Wolves away.
Just know that if there's a game where Leicester are going to turn it round, it's going to be against us.
Yeah, exactly. So then where do we go? It's just, I know Steve Cooper's got, he's basically got a brand new squad and he's got to gel them, but we're still making the same mistakes. And that's the most frustrating factor of this. I mean, he's had, 2 weeks since the Bournemouth game, near enough. And it's still the same, we're still making the same mistakes. And tactically, I'm never going to say I'm some master tactician, but the three centre-halves, it might work in the Championship. It is not working now. We need to probably go, when you go four at the back, or put some extra in midfield, because we're just getting overrun in midfield.
I want to touch on that, because again, this comes back to Freuler a bit. You said a little while ago that that you thought, oh, Freuler's just getting into the game, and then they went and scored. Mm. So from where I was sitting, it looked to me like I can remember looking up at one point in the second half, and we had three lines. We had back five, all in a straight line. Then we had two, and then we had three in front of them, again, all in a straight line. And it was just left these massive spaces in between each line. And I think what was happening was, and this is what Bournemouth did to us as well, was they were pinning our fullbacks right back. And that meant Freuler and Yates, the only way we could actually do anything with the ball was to come for those two to come forwards. And then that left that gap that Paulinho just stepped into to score that 20-yard goal. Again, like Bournemouth, when Billing had a 20-yard shot, he just had acres of space to pick and choose where he wanted to put it. And that's kind of what's happening. And because we're playing that back five, the back three, as soon as our wing backs get pinned back, we haven't got any way to do anything with the ball.
Exactly. And when the wing backs are being pinned back and the players in the middle, they're absolutely not influencing the game at all. Mm-hmm. So if there's Froilo and Yates in there or whoever, and they just put an extra man in there, the maths tell you that. They're just going to pass around. It's it's basic. But I think Steve Cooper's just got to, it's worked so well for him. that formation, but it's not working in the Premier League. We need to get that extra man in midfield, and because that's where games have won, been won and lost in the previous weeks for, well, obviously the teams what we've played against, for them winning the game and us losing the game, is that we're not winning that midfield battle. And another thing is with Yates, I mean, you might get away with it in like at League One or Championship level, but you can't keep going around ploughing into players. I mean, the slightest touch, the players are clever in the Premier League, slightest touch it down, and the amount of free kicks we gave away when he could have like been a bit cute, he could have dropped a shoulder, just got in front of the man, and he might have won the ball. No, you can't keep ploughing through. That frustrated me last night.
The player's got his back to you, you don't put your hands on him because he's...
Exactly. Yeah, even with a fingertip, he's going to go over. And I didn't think the referee was great last night, but I'm not for 1 minute going to say he was the cause of us losing that game last night. We was just... we was naive with the ball and naive without the ball. And another thing, on that corner, when has Space ever scored a goal? And what's this zonal marking? You know what I mean? Just man mark, get a man on the post. And but he's obviously run into the space. He's headed the ball into the bottom corner. Nobody's on the post. And it's 1-1.
As well. It was.
Yeah. I mean, just before that, everybody was like cheering because, I mean, Mitrovic, he was a pain in the arse last night. He really was. But everybody was like, for that split second, he got blocked off and like, all right, nobody was getting. I can't remember who it was. Diop was. Was it Diop or is it the other guy who scored the goal last night? I can't.
The one with the long name.
No disrespect to him. But he scored. It's like everybody's cheering, like, we sorted out the danger man, but nobody's picking up the pieces on the back post.
And again, that's like the one against Bournemouth when Yates was off the pitch. Someone should have been saying, right, who's doing Yates' job covering that bit on that area?
It only needs a man. I mean, if you're not the biggest, just put him off.
Yeah.
And we just didn't do that then. The second goal come and the third goal come. And it wasn't until we went back, brought Warhol on, went to back four and got O'Brien on the pitch. We looked a better side, but I just don't get why we're not playing Lewis O'Brien when he's been the shining light in our midfield this season. He's been brilliant, but he's been benched for the last three games or whatever it is.
I just
don't get it.
Just to sort of talk about that a little bit. So, yeah, obviously, when O'Brien and Morrill came on, we changed shape to what was basically a 4-2-3-1. And then Emmanuel Dennis came on a bit later, and we ended up with Gibbs White at left back, which surprised me a little bit. But
I think that was more to keep the shape more than anything, but it is a bit of a strange move.
But, so O'Brien coming on, he just gave us loads and loads of energy in the middle. And he could pass the ball, he could drive it forwards, he could run with it, he could tackle. He was doing all the things that Yates and Freuler together weren't doing.
Yeah, and that was in a 26-minute spell. It's just, yeah, it just baffled me why he's not been playing. But I thought we looked a bit better with a striker up there, but as soon as I wanted to come off and brought Surridge on, I mean, no disrespect to Surridge, but he's not going to keep the ball up there, is he? No, when you've got those two centre-halves, I thought I would have liked Awoniyi to stay on with Surridge next to him. But obviously that didn't happen. But no, ultimately it was such a frustrating night last night. And questions are going to start being asked about Steve Cooper's tactical selections and obviously the team, what he's ultimately putting out at the moment.
Well, I mean, I will say this, unlike Bournemouth, so at Bournemouth, like, we just knew that they were going to win all the way through the second half and there was no way we were going to get back into it. Whereas yesterday, I did suspect there was a good chance that until Fulham in the 87th minute or something decided to just shut the game down with loads and loads of niggly fouls and stuff like that. But until then, once O'Brien was on, we did look like there was a good chance we could pull something back, which is a much better situation to be in than Bournemouth. But ultimately, it's still 0 points and 3 goals conceded.
Yeah, and it's annoying, isn't it, when you're looking at him thinking, why couldn't we play like this at the start of the second half?
Yeah.
and we have to leave it until we're like 3-1 down to pull a goal back and then look like we might be doing something. But no, it's, like I said, it's just a really frustrating night, and it's another home defeat against a fellow promoted side. So, yeah, we need to book our ideas up if we're going to stay in this league. I know there's a lot of games still to be had, but if, like I said, if you look at your games in September and we're coming to the back end of the month and we've got no points, it's not good. It's not good.
The 1865 Match Report.
So it's pretty bad all in all. I mean, the first half showed that we can do it defensively. And the second half, the end of the second half showed that we've got the drive and whatever to take the game to the opponents if we need to. But we can't seem to do it over 90 minutes. Where do you think that is? Do you think that's the fact that we're playing the wrong shape? Have we got the wrong players? Does Cooper not know the side? Or is it down to him and the decisions that he's making?
I think it's all of those things. And on another thing on top of that, lack of concentration. You got to be on it for 90, 92, 94 minutes in this league. And last night, I thought Bolly started the game okay. But as soon as the game ebbed away, he was like in no man's land on some occasions. And it was like, why are you there?
Making tackles on the halfway line.
Yeah.
Like, and you're supposed to be the centre half as part of the back three.
Yeah, it's just like you're not. At the end of the day, the back four and probably some personnel in midfield are not being disciplined enough. And the reason they're not being disciplined enough, and then they're just getting picked apart. And then ultimately we're conceding goals. It's like the goal last night from Harrison Reed. It's just, he's there in Acres. He's just smashed it past Henderson. It's like, well, where's Loddy? He's not there. Where's, I don't know who the nearest one turned, but everybody's got drawn towards the ball. And the same thing happened against Man City. Three players were drawn towards Phil Foden, but the most dangerous man in world football at the moment, Erling Haaland, now we'll leave him. And he's got a simple tap in. And same again, everybody gets drawn towards the ball. Harrison's on, obviously, when on the back post near enough, or outside the area or wherever he was. And he can pick his spot, and it's just naive defending. And we've got to get away from this naivety, because the worst thing what could happen in the coming weeks, we could get, there could be a huge difference in terms of where we are and where the next team is in terms of points. If you get that quarter drift, it's a lot to make up in the Premier League, in any league really, but especially Premier League, where it's absolutely brutal in terms of, you give teams half a chance, they're going to stick it away.
And I think that the worrying thing is that we're not actually that far away from the World Cup. That's going to be 6 weeks pretty much without a game. So if we're adrift, if there's a gap opened up and then we've got 6 weeks off, coming back to that situation is going to be really, really difficult.
Yeah. When we do come back, two games what we come back to are not easy. We've got Man United on Boxing Day, then a couple of days later got Chelsea at home, which I know they've changed personnel in terms of Tuchel been given the chop and Potter coming in, but Chelsea are Chelsea, aren't they? And they've still got world-class players. And Man United seem to be turning the corner now after that sticky start of the season. So that's obviously not going to be an easy game. I'm not for 1 minute saying there's any easy games in the Premier League, but we've got to start booking our ideas up now, because Marinakis wants to see a return on this investment, and we cannot, for what he's put in, he does not want to see Forest in that bottom three. He's probably had aspirations, probably a mid-table finish, and we're far from it now at the moment, I should say.
Well, I mean, this is another good point. So you've mentioned it already, I think. I can't remember if you mentioned it when we were recording, but we'll come to that, definitely. Certainly when I was walking out the ground, I overheard at least three people saying, well, the owner's going to get rid of him, because I bet he's opening his phone book now, ringing round. You mentioned Thomas Tuchel. I know there's circumstances at Chelsea, but it's not too early to sack a manager. So do you think he's in trouble?
Yes, I do. It's just the how Marinakis operates at the end of the day. I mean, people would be like saying, oh, yeah, Hughton got time and this, that, and the other. But the big factor here is £150 million wasn't in the conversation. And when I know he's got 22 players and he's going to knit them together and gel and everything. But ultimately, what Marinakis is going to be seeing is a bank balance which is £150 million light. And he's seeing Forest second from bottom. And was it four defeats on the spin now? And we knew it was going to be tough. There's no getting away. It was going to be tough. And I mean, on a different day, circumstances might have changed for us. We might have, like, held on for the win at Everton. We might have beaten Bournemouth at home on another day. We could have beaten Fulham last night. But at the end of the day, we haven't, and this is where we are. And Marinakis, I'm not advocating for 1 minute Steve Cooper to be given the chop, because for everything he's done for every Forest fan out there, we cannot thank him enough. But Cooper will know that this is a results-driven business. And when the £150 million has been invested, I mean, if we was a Bournemouth and no money's been spent, you can obviously cut him some slack. But £150 million, it's a lot. It's a big outlay, that is. And to be, second from bottom and four defeats on the spin, two of them were...
Interesting, the atmosphere where I was sat as well. But there was a lot of people saying exactly that. I don't advocate him going, but the owner is ruthless. The owner is very, very ruthless. And it's an interesting take on it because, normally you get the Forest fans, our history of changing managers, the fans are very, very polarised on it. It's like, oh, well, he's got to go, or we need to give the manager time, whereas this situation just feels completely different.
It does, because I know we're in a different league and we're not in, like, the quagmire of the Championship, but you just can see what may happen in the coming weeks if this situation doesn't improve. And, like I said, we love Steve Cooper to bits, but he will know it's a results-driven business, and if he's not delivering results, then unfortunately the manager pays the price. And
as a something I just thought of, which is complete speculation and out of the air, but you can look back at the season before when Tuchel took over at Chelsea, and he took a team that wasn't gelling, that wasn't firing on all cylinders, got them playing with a back five, and got them immediate results. And you're thinking Marinakis is probably looking at that and saying, actually, managers can do that. It is possible.
Yeah. I mean, Steve Cooper did it last year, didn't he? Yeah. He was, 1 point from seven games, he come in and absolutely transformed the club. But I think first and foremost, he's got to help himself. He's got to get to a point where he's got to, I know we all think we're managers and ultimately we're not because we're just Joe Plocks in the crowd, but Steve Cooper's got to start picking the side what you look at and thinking, that's a decent side. That's the side I would put. And I think we're getting torn shreds in midfield. O'Brien has to start next game. Has to. If he doesn't, something's drastically wrong in why he's not playing. I like Yates' enthusiasm and wears his heart on his sleeve and everything, but I just think he's lacking that quality in midfield. There's a couple of times yesterday where he has to play like a pass out to the wing to Nico Williams, and there's not enough on it. It gets cut out. Nico Williams is out the picture because he's obviously bombed forward. The midfield's then got to turn back and facing their own goal. And we're getting outnumbered, and that happened a couple of times yesterday. And another thing is what I mentioned earlier is what frustrating me is you got to be a bit cuter in the Premier League. And I think there's a lot of players out there who are naive in terms of trying to get the ball back. There was a couple of times yesterday that Yates just ploughed through the back of somebody, and it's like, you can't do that. You might get away with it in the Championship, but you cannot get away with it now in the Premier League. So we need to wise up. We need to
same get a bit... For Freuler sort of thought he had more time to do stuff with the ball than he actually did.
Yeah. But we've got to get a bit more streetwise, so because that's that like bit of nous of what to do in the Premier League. I think it's. I know we haven't got a lot of Premier League experience in there, but we've played quite a few games now. You know what the Premier League's about, and we need to wise up because we're going to get cashed adrift.
So it's the international break coming up. So another little period without any games, that could be a good thing. It could be a bad thing. Obviously, we've got a lot more internationals with us than we did last season. But then for after that, we've got Leicester, then Villa, and then Wolves. And they definitely become games we can't afford to drop any points at all, I think.
Exactly. I mean, that Leicester, I mean, they've started the season worse than us, to be honest. But, I mean, they got Spurs later today. And I can't see... Spurs losing that one. So, yeah, that game, I forgot what, King Power Stadium, I think it's going to be a huge game. And we need to come away there. If we don't, and it might turn their season into Leicester if they beat us. And hopefully, we want that win to kickstart our season. But yeah, the next two games are huge. And I mean, Wolves haven't been pulling up any trees this season. So that's another important game. Then we've got Liverpool at home on the 22nd.
Yeah.
So,
Let's hope Steve Cooper can make it happen. So thanks for that, Tom. And thank you for listening to us. We'll be back again after the international break with a match report from the Leicester game.
Podcast Network.